I'm glad to be in his house, and I'm so glad to have that microphone. I'm thankful to be here, and you know, there's so many things that the devil will try to do to a person on a Sunday. If you're going to have a knockdown drag-out with your spouse, let me tell you something, it's going to be on a Sunday, you feel me? Now, we haven't fought today, I just want to make that clear. I'm not speaking from experience, I'm just saying that if something will happen on Sunday, if something's going to happen, it's probably going to happen on a Sunday. But I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you right now, Lord, for every single person, God, that's in this church, in these four walls. Lord, I thank you for every person that's joining us on social media, on all of our networks, God, that we have. And Lord, right now, God, I thank you, God, for capturing the attention of your children. God, let your word fall on good, receptive ground in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, where there has not been a way in their lives. God, I thank you that you are making a way right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, where there needs to be a healing take place, God, I thank you for healing right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind up the spirit of depression, and I tell it has to go right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that for anybody that came in here weary, God, you told us, God, that you would give us some joy. So, Lord, right now, I ask for your presence. God, I ask for your joy, God, and I ask for your holiness, God. And, Lord, I thank you, God, that you're helping us. Lord God, each step of the way, God, it's not by might, Father God, it's not by power, but God, it's by your spirit. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, right now, Lord, and I just turn this service right over to you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. And you know, so many, I have been in church my whole entire life, the whole thing. And if there's anything that I've learned the good and the bad and the ugly of church. Now, am I loud enough? Are you sure, Brother Charles? I'm just checking, okay? Now, look here. I just have to make sure because I got to be loud enough. And the sheriff said, Kelly's very passionate. She is just a passionate girl. And that's another word for loud. So, anyhow, back to what I was talking about, I have missed you so much. I'm so glad to have our Heather back. I have missed her. But, you know, I've seen all of it. When you're in church your whole life, you see it all. And what I like to bring to the table is just realness, raw. The world does not need one more pastor that's going to sugarcoat the Word of God. The Word of God is going to still stand strong. It is the Word of God, and I don't sugarcoat it because when I stand before God, I want to say, God, I said it. I said everything that you wanted me to say. There's times God wants me to get up here and lamb blast about sin, and I'm like, okay, are you sure? Yep, okay. Well, look here, sin is sin, and I've done that before. And what I want to minister to you today is something that I think, to some degree, if you don't deal with it right now, you'll be dealing with it in the future. And I preach out of my own life. And I do that because I can't preach out of y'all's lives because you get offended and you leave. You get me? I can't get up here and be like, Sally Sue, she did a number 10 this week, and then on Tuesday she did a number 12. And the scale's only going to 10, so she really did a doozy. I can't preach about your life because I want to keep you in church. And I want to tell everybody that although we do have online services, I want to tell you that, you know, if you can be in the house of God, the Word says don't forsake the gathering of believers. And let me tell you something, just to clear the record. I know I try to be young and hip along with the best of them. But here is one thing. The Word of God won't change just because you want it to change. The Word of God is going to stand irregardless. The Word says there's a day that's coming that every single knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess. And what's it going to confess is that He's Lord. See, so you're not going to come up in here and see this blonde-headed girl preaching something that ain't in the Word. Because, see, it don't matter how young and hip I am, the Word is still the Word. And if you can be here, you need to be here. I got people, they've been lollygagging and missing service, and I'm going to tell you right here, you better check yourself. If you're watching me right now, I'm going to tell you to check yourself. There are people that need to be sitting at home watching this, and I believe that. There's also some people that belong up in these seats, and I believe that. Now, that's just a little truth. That has nothing to do with the message. That's called extra. And Mama Brenda can attest to this. I've always been just a smidge on the extra side. My third grade teacher says, she is weird. Everybody on their report cards, your child is so pleasant. Not mine. She's weird. She's just, I love you, you sweet boy. Y'all welcome Lucas here this morning. What I've learned is that everybody's weird. I just thought it was me. And the scary thing is, the other day we was at the water park, and I looked over at Pastor Jeremy. I said, I think I just got old on this trip. It happened in a day. Because I was looking, and I thought, man, I feel like I need a turtleneck up in here. Modesty just got the best of me. Anyhow, I had an experience on Tuesday. We left out for Branson on Thursday, and we came back on Saturday. I don't like to be away from the church very long. But on Tuesday, my family, we've been in the ministry our whole lives, and so I can preach out of all of our lives because we're used to that, and my family won't get offended when I do that. We're used to it. We've done this our whole lives. And so Tuesday, I woke up to a phone call. So I pick it up, and it says, Dad. And I'm going, it is too early for this phone call with him right now. It's too early for that. And I pick it up, and he goes, and he's real hyper on that phone. Have you ever talked to Brother Angelo when he's hyper? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like when you're talking on the phone to me and I'm hyper. The apple didn't fall too far from that tree. So I get on the phone with him, and he goes, he was out of breath. I was thinking, strange, what are you doing? And he goes, is there any way you can come over here and help me with your mother? I got to get her dressed. Now, for those of you that don't know, my sweet mama, who's a saint, she fell a few weeks ago, and she broke both of her wrists. She got a concussion. She was put in two casts. We've had so many things go on with Mama. And I thought, now I'm not going to lie to you. How many of you love your family? How many of you can say your family gets on your last nerve sometimes? I'm not going to say who said that loud. But I thought, here was my thought, Miss Dale. I thought, they don't really need my help. They want to visit with me. That's what I thought. Because look here, my parents, they'll come up with any excuse to get their kids over their house. And I thought, ugh, how are you going to say no to Sister Millie? You don't. So, of course, I'm going to go over and help Mama get dressed, but I know Daddy's just doing that so he can visit with me. And don't he know I got things to do? And I got myself an attitude. And we preached about that attitude a few weeks ago with that little girl. Mama, I'm sorry. I need to be a good girl, but I can't because I ain't a good girl. So I get myself up in that car, and I drive to my parents' house. And the whole time I was thinking, this is ridiculous. They don't need me. Mom's got Dad. There's no way she needs me. And then I thought, you know, my mother has been there for me my whole life. I'm going to suck this up, and I'm going to act right. So I got myself, I put my big girl pants on. I pull them up over my chubby roll. And I went over the threshold of their doorstep. And when I went over the threshold, I had a change of heart. And I walked through that door, and I saw my mama, and there she was in tears. And she said something, and it pierced me so deep that it began to minister to me, and it's ministered to me all week. She said, Kelly, I am still hurting so bad. And I had a little mental conversation with myself. I said, Kelly, you're a jerk. You are terrible. You have been acting up, and here's your mama, and she really is legitimately suffering. And I put my arms around her, and I said, Mama, this is going to get better. This is going to get better. Let's get up and get you dressed. I want to tell you something today. There are situations and there are things in your life that they still hurt. So I went out of there and I was a little more humbled. You know, God will choose his days to really deal with you. Tuesday was my day. He just dealt with me all day. So I go, and you know, this has been spring break, and I try to be that fun mom, but I have lots of things that I have to do. So in between being the fun mom, I've also got things I just have to do. So I said, I've got one kid. The funnest thing that he does is eat. Praise the Lord. I love taking that kid out because we both love the same thing. It's fun for us to go eat. So I said, okay, kids, your mama's going to take you out to lunch. Let's go. So I load them up in the car, and I'm still thinking about mama, and I'm still trying to get myself straightened out. And I take them, and when we walk through the door, it's packed. I already promised them kids we's eating there. I pride myself on not lying to my kids. One of the most things that I detest is waiting on anything. I don't care what it is. I don't like to wait for it. If you're going to write me a $1 million check, get that pen out because I don't even want to wait for that. I'm serious. I don't like to wait for things. That's tough when you're a pastor because, see, there's some things you've got to wait on. So when we walk through the door, here I see Mama Brenda, somebody, and my heart just absolutely, I felt like sank right into my toes. Because that person hurt my family. So you hurt me, that's fine. You hurt my family, I'm going to turn gangster on you. I don't care who you are, and I don't care if I'm pastor or not. You do something to my family, I'm going to get you in the worst way. You won't even know you've been got till you've been got. And I was sitting there, Mama Brenda, and there's moments in my life I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, what can I get away with? Because here I am in Paris, and see, I minister here. What can I get away with up in here? And God said, nothing. God, are you sure? Let me tell you something. I was sitting there for like 7 minutes. That's like an eternity to me. And here I'm sitting there waiting. And I said, God, I'm about to forget what you said. I'm about to do my own thing. I'm going to go rogue. I'm just going to say it because it's been on my chest for about 2 years now. I'm about to just line this out. I said, Kelly, don't do that. You've come too far to do that. And I said, God, I just want to ask them one thing. And I'm about to get self-righteous. I just want to know, how do you live with yourself? That's what I want to ask him, God. The waitress goes, your table, miss. Let's sit down. Praise God. You intercepted that one, Jesus. I go and I sit down. And tears. I have crazy moments. Aunt Patty, I just started to weep. And I said, Daddy God, I am still hurting so much. See, about 2 hours before that, my mother had said those same words. And I sat down at that table, and I was mad because I didn't get to ask them how they could live with their self. And I just started to cry. I said, Daddy God, I'm still hurting over this. I didn't realize I was still hung up over that. See, there's things, you want to go somewhere, God's going to wake you up. See, How many of you ever watched Sister Act way back in the day? Well, that used to be one of our favorite movies, me and my sister, because I can lip sing to that whole video. Casey can actually sing it, but she said something. If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Let me tell you something. God will create situations. He will allow situations to come into your life to bring something to the surface and make you look face to face with it so you can get it under the blood. See, God doesn't want you holding unforgiveness in your heart. Because when you're holding unforgiveness, it's holding you. It's holding you. And I just talked to God the whole time. My kids were sitting there eating, and I just couldn't hardly stomach it. Because, see, I was still messed up over 2 or 3 years ago. You messed up over anything still? See, it just got quiet. You know why? Because it just got real. Because it just got real. See, I'm not going to get up here with a harp and play you a tune or a whatever. That's a violin, ain't it? See, I'm not musically inclined like you. I don't even know my instruments, okay? The violin, we're going to get up here and Pastor Kelly's going to play you a pretty tune and make you feel like you've been to church. No, we're going to have church. That's how that's going to go. And I'm not a circus flea. We're just going to tell it. But there's things that God wants to bring to the surface and address in your life so you can get them under the blood and move on in your life. So I want to turn this morning to Psalms chapter 56, and I want to look at verse 8. And I want to talk to that person today where you say, you know what, God? Every time I hear that person's name, I'm hurting. Every time I think about that situation, I'm mad all over again. Every time I think about that place, I replay everything in my mind that happened there. Every time I get into this argument with this person, everything that they've ever said mean to me comes up. See, there's things and they're holding you back because there's still emotional baggage that's got you going. See, we were made in His image. You don't think God has emotions? God has emotions. Amen. And it says in Psalms chapter 56 in verse 8, it says, "You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them." And I want to minister to you today and tell you that you know what? Daddy God knows every single tear you've cried over that situation. He knows every tear that you've cried because of that person or that situation or that thing. See, He knows it. Not only does He know it, but He's counted them. Not only has He counted them, but He's put them in His bottle. There's a very controversial book. No, I didn't read it, but I listened to it on audio. And it was called The Shack. And that's a long book. Thank God I listened to it because there is no way. But the one thing that stuck out to me in that whole thing, see, we was driving up to St. Louis and we was listening to that book, Diana. And I was in and out, but I caught the main storyline, okay? And this man, his child, somebody had taken his child, and he was crying, and there were characters in this book, and one of the characters was the Holy Spirit, and this man began to weep because he began to tell God how hurt he was, and the Holy Spirit said, "Hold on," and he took a vessel, and he brought it up to his face, and he collected that tear, and I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, God, He knows every single hurt. But He also knows the season in your life that He wants to address that. Because, see, God doesn't want His kids all bruised up and hurting all the time. He wants you happy and He wants you whole. He wants you happy and He wants you whole. There's times in our lives God chooses to deal with things that are buried in us. Why? So we can truly move forward. So we can truly move forward. And so he knows every situation. There's people, if I mention people's names, we'd be like, don't mention their name to me. Mm-mm. There's places, no, I don't want to go there, them people. Eh. No, I am not going to be around that one. See, there's things. Why can I preach about this? Because I've lived it. I've lived it. I've had towns. I've had places that I couldn't go for years because of hurt. See, God wants to address hurt in the lives of his children because, see, God gets no enjoyment when his kids are hurting. Do you get joy when your kids are hurting? Man, look here. I'm going to tell you something. We, once again, up at the water park this past weekend, there was a lifeguard. We were in the kiddie pool. That pool is like this deep, okay? And we was up in the kiddie pool, and my baby, who looks like he's a 20-year-old, look here, I know he's big, but that's my baby. Don't mess with my baby. I'll get on you. I know he looks 20. He's 5, and he's just big. He came out big. All right? There was this lifeguard, and I felt like he had singled my little Coco out. That ain't going to fly. Not with this mama. My baby was going down the slide. And let me tell you, the slide was like, however deep the water was, the incline on the slide was not, I mean, if it would have been any less, it would have been just the floor. It was like a smidgen of a slide. And Colton, it was easier for him to go down there on his belly. Well, that lifeguard, every time, every other kid could go down on their belly. But not mine. And I started giving him the dirty eye. You know them ones that you give when people's messing with your kids and you letting them know ahead of time, me and you's about to tango and it ain't going to be good. I started looking at him. He didn't flinch. He kept on getting on my little kid. So then I get up out of my chair and I pull my britches up because I realized I just got old right there and up in that pool. And thank God, man, I was like, oh, man, I don't know how some of these people wearing this, but I ain't going to. I pulled them pants up, and I started going towards that guy, and he started going the other way. I thought, that's right. You best go because I'm about to get a hold of you. Look here. Daddy God wants you happy. Not just a surface level happy where I'm fine, it's fine, we're all fine. Look here, be real. Sometimes you ain't fine. Sometimes you're hurt. Sometimes you go for years and you can't talk about a certain thing because every time you do, you go back to that place where they said what they said, where they did what they did, where they hurt you the way that they hurt you. Look here, we all got the stuff, but see, God wants to get the stuff out of your life that's holding you back. It's just holding you back. See, he wants to address it. Let's go now to Psalms 147 and verse 3. And it says here, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. For every heart that has brokenness in there, see, God wants to heal that. You have to let him. God can't heal something that you say, no, I'm keeping on to this hurt. I'm keeping on to that offense. I'm keeping on to that thing. I'm keeping on to that memory. You know, I've come to a place in my life where I've said, God, take even the memory of that hurt. Take it away. You know how God can do that? When you quit reliving it. When you quit replaying it in your mind. When you quit telling yourself everything that they said to you. When you quit replaying where you were when they done what they did to you. See, Daddy God wants to address some things in here today with his kids. Are you open to healing? Are you open to healing? Or is anybody cold in here? I want you to raise your hand. Is anybody cold? Let's turn this down just a smidgen over here. Because, see, I like people to be very comfortable in my service. As comfortable as they possibly could be with my preaching. I've had people say, now, I know you were just preaching at me. I said, look here, when I was up there, I was preaching to me first and you second. But, yeah, don't make a mistake. I'm preaching to every one of us. He binds up their wounds. Now, when I was little, I never listened to anything. And they said, don't go in the barn. That barn, I don't like that barn. That's the same place my mama fell down and hurt herself. Mama said, Kelly, don't go in the barn. I said, okay. I went in the barn. That's me. Okay, Lord, I can't say anything. Okay, I'm walking to the table to say something. She said, don't go in the barn. Okay. I'm going in the barn. I'm going to get my froggy because you done put my froggy up because you thought I outgrew that. I did not outgrow that. I want that toy, Mama. You put it in the barn. I'm going to get it. When I walked in the barn, apparently, this is going to be a real stretch, but we used to kind of farm. I know. It's hard to imagine us. We had some cows, and we had some geese. And we had, I think we had some chickens. Maybe a goat or so in there, somewhere up in there. We are not farming type of people. We outgrew that stage. After we ate Oreo, who was our pet. Yeah, that was a no-no. But anyways, I went in the barn, and when I went in the barn, I slid my hand across one of those old troughs. And I was getting that toy. I was happy, and I was just a blonde-headed little girl. And my mother said, Kelly Mae, what did you get into? The barn that you told me not to. She goes, your whole hand is bleeding. I looked down, and sure enough, my whole hand was just gushing blood. I didn't even know how I did it. She said, well, where did you go? And sure enough, it was that trough. And she took my hand, and I will never forget it, because I've had two kids, one who was enormous, and I still don't think I had as much pain with that as I did the day that I cut my hand when my mama told me not to go up in that barn. But what she did was she took that hand, she took a hold of it. See, God will take a hold of you in a season of your life. He'll get you. He'll take a hold of you. And what's he going to do? He's going to put you under the faucet, and he's going to clean yourself. She cleaned up in there. In places I didn't know I had. She started cleaning, and I thought that was the worst part, but it wasn't. The part that was the worst was when she began to bind up my wounds because there was so much pressure that she put on my hand to get it to heal right. See, when the Word of God says he'll heal the brokenhearted and he'll bind up their wounds, let me tell you something, child of God, that's a process, and you're going to feel some pressure when the Word becomes active in your life and the Word of God becomes real and he begins to bind those wounds because you're going to feel some pressure. We got to the doctor, one of the few times I went to the doctor in my whole childhood, and he said, there's nothing left for me to do. And I thought, well, why in the world are we here? I was like four. Why are we here? He goes, Mildred, I don't know how you did this, but this child doesn't even need stitches. She said, well, I applied so much pressure to that wound that on the way over here, it began to heal and it stopped its bleeding. Let me tell you something. God wants to heal that brokenness in your life. It could just be one area. It could be maybe you're going through a season where you're broken up about something. Maybe something didn't go your way. Maybe somebody did something to you and you're trying so hard to let it go and you can't. God wants that to come out. He wants it to come out. So Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 14. And it says here, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. See, we're looking for things in all the wrong places these days. I heard the other day, and I'm not knocking it, but it's just ironic. You ever listen to the news and you're thinking, where are we going with this? I was listening to Alexa because she never listens to me. So I listened to her, and she was telling me on the news, and she was talking about, if you don't have time to go see the doctor, just call this number. They'll see you over the phone. And I'm going, now how are they going to see me over the phone? I want to know. How is that diagnosis going to be accurate? I'd like to know. See, when the word says, God heal me and I'll be healed. See, when God does it, it's done. You can try to heal yourself. You can try to put it under the carpet. You can try to not look at it. That's what I do. I think, you know, if I don't talk about it, if I don't look at it, if I don't acknowledge the problem will go away. It never does. It's there. It's there. When God says, when I heal you, I've healed you. It says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. See, so many people think, you know, I got saved when I was 7. I'll never forget bending down on that old ugly brown sofa sectional and saying, God, something's wrong. I feel sin in my heart. You know how many times he's saved me since I was 7 years old? You know the number of times that he's had to save me from myself, from bad decisions. See, when God says, I'll save you, he'll save you every day. He'll fill you with hope every day. He'll give you a new beginning. He'll give you a clean slate. When you wake up and you feel so bad about what you did yesterday, he'll say, you know what, look here, we're not looking at that. Today is full of mercy, a brand new mercy. But the best chance that we all have to move forward is to say, you know what, Daddy God, search this heart. Lord, bring everything to the top. Whatever doesn't please you, God, you deal with it. See, I've been praying for months. God, heal me of the things that I cannot even talk about. Well, I thought I was over that thing. You ever do this? You ever go somewhere and you run up into somebody and you get an attitude just like that? That is your number one clue. You ain't over that. And I sat there and I said, God, I'm still in a lot of pain over this. And he began to deal with me. And you know, I get a little self-righteous sometimes. Anybody else get that way? Here's what self-righteous is. He brought me back. And he said, what did you want to ask that person? I said, well, I wanted to ask them how they can live with their self. And this is what he told me. He said, you know what? They can live with their self the same way you can live with yourself, only by my grace. Only by my grace. Only by my grace. See, we want to get mad at people when we've done the same thing. Amen. Maybe in a different way. Amen. How many of you know sin is sin? Amen. How many of you know there are not levels of sin? Amen. You said, Kelly, I let today happen. I allowed it to happen because I wanted you to see this is still bothering you. And I don't want it to anymore. I want you to walk away from it and I want you to be healed of it. And I prayed all day, God help me. God help me and God forgive me for being such a self-righteous jerk. Because God, I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm not proud of. And God, here I've been judging. See, if you leave the judging to Jesus, I'm not saying people don't do you wrong. They will. They will do you wrong and they will hurt you. That's what they do. And at the end of the day, if you can keep it real with yourself, that's what you do. Heather, I hurt people and I don't mean to. I offend people and I don't mean to. I'm short with people sometimes and I don't mean to. Sometimes, Aunt Patty, on a bad day, I'm going to snap at somebody. See, when we can be real with what's going on, we can change. You won't see people changing when they won't keep it honest. Change doesn't happen in dishonest people. Amen? See, think about those things. See, do you have places you can't go? Do you have people that if they, by golly, if they walk up in Walmart, you're going to turn the other way? Now, I know I'm stepping up on toes, Jesus stepped up on my toes on Tuesday. So if he goes step on my toes, I'm going to step on your toes. That's just how this works. It's a downhill slope with that. I won't tell you what my husband says about that theory. It all goes downhill. So heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. God, I'm not going to glorify this situation any longer. God, you're the one that I praise. God, I'm going to allow you to come in and heal me because, God, I understand that when you heal me, I'm going to be healed. God, I understand that when I allow you to come into my life and right wrongs that's been done to me, God, I don't have to continually hold grudges against that person. See, you either want all of God or none of him. We want to portion God out. God ain't going to be portion. He is the portion. He's all you need. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And it says here, therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgiveness is the hardest thing to do because there's a part of us when we truly forgive. There's a part of us that feels like we're losing. You get me? I sat there and I said, God, are you trying to make me forgive this? Because I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm still pretty ticked, apparently. I didn't know it till today, but apparently I'm still hung up over that, as you can tell. I just about showed out, Lord. And you choose today to address this situation. Okay, let me tell you something. God knows where he wants to take you. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, how many of you got things that you're praying for? How many of you got situations and you say, God, it's going to only be you doing it? I've got situations right now. Diane, I'm trying to narrow them in. And I'm trying to say, God, what is your will? See, because there's my will and there's God's will. You know what I've learned? I want God's will because when it's mine, it is so messed up. I don't want none of that. I can really mess some things up. I don't want to be in that season of my life. I just want the blessing of God and I want to go where he tells me to go. I want to do what he tells me to do. And there's things that I need extreme precision and clarity on. You know how you get that? Anybody got anything in their life where you say, God, I need some answers. I need for you to tell me what to do because I don't have a very clear perception of how you want this to go. See? Anybody here like that? Let's see. Let's see who we're talking to. Okay? Look here. You're going to get that one way. Let's read it again together. Therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, when you stand praying, I got lots of prayers I don't need hindered right now. So by golly, when you stand and you're praying, he tells you to do something before you pray. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive them. Forgive. 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 It's not an option that you can just check that box and say, no, I'm going to opt out of that. I don't want to forgive them. No. There's not a box there. You're going to forgive them or you're going to miss out on some blessings. You're going to forgive them or you're going to be stuck in a place where your prayers can be hindered. How much is unforgiveness worth to you? Is it worth your family? Is it worth your marriage? Is it worth your children and their childhood? Is it worth homes that God wants to get you to have? Is it worth your job? See? The devil loves to get people in unforgiveness because he can really wreak havoc in those areas. But when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. And let me tell you something. When you brush all the nonsense away, all the questions you want to ask Sally Sue because you can't stand her, when you can brush that away, what you see right there is a hurt. When you're hurting, brush off the surface of that hurt. What's the face of the hurt? Who do you need to forgive? It may be yourself. There's so many things the devil can do in your life when you walk in that unforgiveness. But one of the worst things is when we walk around and we can't even go up into a restaurant without showing out because somebody else was there. Can't go up into Walmart without cruising that parking lot first. See, when God wants you happy and whole, He wants you happy and whole. No strings attached. Just whole. How do you get there? Forgiving. Is there places where you say, God, I'm still really hurting over this? See, people like, they don't like to feel hurt. One of the main things that we talk about in Celebrate Recovery, I always say, what led you to that? What led you to that addiction? What led you to this? What led you to that? I was in something and I didn't want to feel. I needed an outlet where I could go in my mind to where I didn't have to feel what I was feeling. We run from feelings. We run from emotions. Why? Because they're uncomfortable to address. See, God wants you to walk up in any place and be able to go. I said, God, I'm going to behave. Because, Lord, I'm to the point I don't want to go backwards. I don't like who that person was. So instead of saying, how can you live with yourself? I said, how are you doing? I'm so glad to see and hear that you're doing well. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you because I can't bless you right now. That's called a step in the right direction, not prison. But look here, a soft answer. It's going to turn away some things. It's going to turn away that wrath. Look here, I've had phases. I just got out of a 3-year thing where I couldn't even go to a town because I was so hung up over how I thought somebody did me wrong. God said, ask them for forgiveness. I said, I'm not doing that. You know what they did. Ask them for forgiveness because I know what you did. Kelly, I know what you did. I got in my closet, literally, and shut the door and was there for 4 hours. It took me 4 hours to have the courage to tell my enemy, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Everything in my head wanted to say, but they did this. See, God don't want to hear what they did. He knows. He wants to hear, do you know what you did? Do you know what you did? That's where you start. When you have those things that hurt you so bad, let's brush away a lot of that stuff on the top. Let's deal with the real trouble. The real thing that's had a hold of you for years. God wants to address that. last place for me this morning is Romans chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Look here, we want to justify and defend everything that we do. You don't got to do that. Somebody else is justifying you. They're doing a way better job of it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Look here. So many times I open our services and I said, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Why? Because everything in this life is trying to knock you down, trying to get you to stay in that position of being down. Look here. God is always, to make no mistake, He's always trying to get you up. He's always trying to get you to where you can stand firm. Always. And it says here, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. If you've been disappointed in here this morning, if somebody's hurt you, if there's a situation that's still causing you pain, I want to tell you some good news. God's not going to disappoint you. He will not let you down. He will not let you go. He will not say, you've done too many things. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. No, see, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve, He's looking for every possible way to be good to you. He's looking for every possible way to say, now, come here. I'm not done with you. We're going to make you better. See, God's looking for that. And it says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. One time I called the radio up and I said, I need prayer. I'm having trouble forgiving. And He brought me to this place. I didn't like it. I called the next day. I said, I need prayer. I'm having trouble with forgiveness. Gave me the same verse. And when I read it again and I read, God has poured out His love into our hearts. See, Tuesday, here's what I had to say. God, I don't got it for this person, but God, I know that You do, and You love this person just as much as You love me. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask You right now to pour out Your love into my heart for that person that's hurt my family. See, you think just because you don't like them, nobody else did. Look here, God loves them. And God loves you. And He loves you so much that He'll allow certain circumstances to come to the top so you can get them right. God don't want you hurting. He gets no joy out of that. And it says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And I want to tell you something today. God is here. While I was preaching, there's so many people, and you said, ugh, she's preaching right at me. Yes, I was. Why? Because, see, God wants you to have your absolute best, most blessed life. He calls you by name. Where can you go to hide from Him? Nowhere. Do you have that thing in your life and you say, I want to be free from that. It's got such a hold on me. I'm so bitter over that. I'm so mad over that. Every time I get in a bad mood, I go right back to that place. Now, I'm a very long-winded pastor. But I have made myself address the fact that there needs to be prayer in this place. So if you have some things today, I want to tell you right now that these altars are open. These altars are open. If you need to come and get some things right, I'm going to ask you to do that. Why? Because, see, God wants you at your best. He wants you. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs that heart to change. If you need hands-on prayer, Pastor Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to come down here. Let's pray for our people. If you need hands-on prayer, if there's places and you say, Pastor Kelly, you was preaching right at me, but I feel like I cannot let that go, we're going to pray. If you're hurting in here, if you say, you know what, I've been sad for way too long. I've been depressed for way too long. I've had that anxiety for way too long. I'm right here. If you're praying, I'm going to ask everybody that's in the audience, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray. Your pastor is here at the front of this church. Corona has done so many things. It's taken prayer out of so many churches. If you need prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to come up. I want to lay my hands on you and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Y'all just begin to come up here and stand.